Hey, Snuffing Torches listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
All right, welcome in to Snuffing Torches Survivor Season 43 premiere episode. We're back. Guys, we are back. It's me, Tommy, Nate, Jake Marsh. So if you guys are new to the show, thanks for joining us. Thanks for watching. If you're back, you know the deal. The main crew is usually the three of us, Jeff D'Lo and Glennie Balls. They both had conflicts tonight. But you know what also I'll say throughout this season, I don't know how many episodes will be all five of us. I don't know how many episodes will be three of us, four of us. We're going to get some other faces in the mix too. Clemmer is a big Survivor guy. He's a new employee. Joey Camasta said that he's starting to watch Survivor this season. He wants to get in the mix. Rhea said that she's watching Survivor this season. Maybe we'll get her on an episode. I don't know who else in the office is watching.
I saw John Rich tweeting about it.
John Rich watches?
He was tweeting about it, yeah.
Well, I'll say this. John Rich was tweeting Big Brother as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
All right. So, yeah, we have quite a Survivor crew in the office. Tonight, you know, we didn't want to throw too much at everyone at once. So it's just the three of us tonight. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like. If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, subscribe. And thanks for listening. Thanks for coming back. Or if you're a new listener, thanks for giving us a shot. Hope you like it. The plan will be all season long. We will release these episodes on Wednesday night, late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning to iTunes and Spotify. It'll be up at some point Thursday on YouTube, or we might do YouTube lives. We might do more YouTube lives, I think is probably a good call, so that the episode ends, you give us 5 or 10 minutes, we'll hop in YouTube live, we can get interactive with the chat, and then we could also use that audio as a podcast. So that's just the housekeeping notes. Oh, and I have one more thing. Yes, Nate.
How many years in a row with the shirt?
So I was trying to think. So right, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see I have my Survivor shirt. I wear this 4 times a year. I wear it every Survivor premiere day and every Survivor finale day. So 2 seasons a year. Fights got it for me for Secret Santa in 2018. Okay. So I'd guess, I think I wore it one there. So it's been quite a few seasons in a row, maybe starting on 38-ish or something. But yeah, thanks for joining us. I wanted to say, so for those of you that are holdovers from last season, when we did our finale episode, I believe I looked in the camera and I promised you off-season episodes. That did not happen. So full transparency, we tried hard. We almost had Mike. Hoboken Mike, the what?
We had him.
We basically had him. We had him. I was in contact with him. He responded. He said, I'm down to go on, but he's like, I think I got to clear it with the CBS people. I cleared it with we set up with CBS people. It was like noon on a Tuesday. We log on. He stood us up. He just stood us up.
We were waiting in the Zoom room.
Yeah, we were waiting in the Zoom for him. then they were like, oh, we had internet issues. We tried again. Same thing. Internet issues or something, conflict. And I said, you know what, Mike, I love you, but at a certain point, we can't look too desperate here. We can't all be moving our days around to interview you, Mike, if you're going to keep canceling on us. So once that happened, I think it kind of maybe left a bit of a sour taste in our mouth. But we will have episode recaps all season long, but I'm not promising any more guests. If it falls into our lap, we'll do it. But I'm done promising guests, because even when we have them lined up, it doesn't even happen. But okay, housekeeping is done. Survivor is back. Christmas morning, Survivor 43, 2-hour premiere.
I will do a little more housekeeping. Shout out to the people who stuck with us after 41, because that season sucked. last season was awesome, and I think we crushed it. And I have a very good feeling about this season from episode one. I have a very strong feeling that we're going to have another strong season.
Yeah, I like, I'm distracted by Jake's octopus on the season 43 logo. That's a cool looking octopus.
If you're watching,
I think it's foreshadowing.
I have the background. I haven't even examined it yet, but we're seeing a purple octopus.
Yeah, looks cool.
And some palm trees. Yeah.
I'll tell you this for foreshadowing, Tommy. I have a neighbor who is a meth head, and she is screaming at the top of her lungs right now. So
it would be, I hope she kills you live on the podcast.
At any point, I could be attacked.
That would be amazing numbers.
Yeah.
I thought it was a promising first episode. It definitely wasn't like the most action-packed, insane twists and turns. We don't need that for a first episode. What I like to see about a first episode is, you know, what are the characters like? And I think there's some promising characters on this season. And I do think they did a good job letting us get to know these characters instead of, you know, 41 especially was just twist, twist, twist. Pay attention to this twist. Pay attention to this twist. And by the end of the season, it was like, wait, who's Erica? Who's the girl that won? We don't know anything about her. And they did a better job in 42. And this episode seemed promising too. I have my favorites. I have the people I don't like so far. What one critique I will say, I think that Survivor has to do a better job of explaining these new twists. So for example, tonight you have the people get picked up on the boat, and it was Dwight, it was Carla, and it was Gabler. We got need some help with the names here, but those three. And then it was the risk or reward last season, though, was the prisoner's dilemma. You didn't know what the other person was picking. Here you seemingly could have figured it out together, but I didn't totally understand with putting the hands in the pot how that would have worked out. And the big thing is when Gabler got the idol, and we have the picture here where it says Jake, you sent the picture in our snuffing torture chat. It says, so Gabler ends up getting the idol. Says, congratulations, you risked and won. This immunity idol will keep you safe for your next two tribal councils. After that, it loses all power. So I take that as he is automatically safe at his next two tribal councils, not the overall next two. And he doesn't have to play it or activate it at all, right? It's just automatically activated.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But then when Jeff asked if anyone had an idol, they all looked at him like, are you going to play it? Like they didn't, Jeff didn't say up front, like, Gabler, you're safe.
Right. So that's a little confused. I think he was safe. The way I read that note is he was safe tonight and he'll be safe at their next tribal council. But I do think the producers, the editors, if you're going to throw in new twists like that, not that the idol is a new twist, but this spin on it, you have to just explain it a little better, especially to a new, like I was watching Spider was in the room tonight as we were watching.
Oh, nice.
He didn't watch the whole episode. He was like having dinner there. It's like, what the fuck's going on? He's like, what are they talking about? Like somebody who has never seen episode is really probably going to be thrown off by that. But overall, pretty solid episode. What'd you guys think?
Yeah. We ran into that issue, obviously season 41, where they introduced every new challenge in the first episode, or sorry, twist in the first episode, and we had no idea what was going on. I felt it wasn't like that today. I thought it was a solid intro episode. We got to know a lot of the castaways, which I liked. They didn't hammer us over the head with them, also, which I appreciated. They didn't make us, you know, feel sympathy immediately for every single castaway, but we kind of just got to know them. We got to know their names and, you know, who they are. We felt them out a little bit. I feel they're easing us into a very, God, I don't want to go out on a limb. I think we're gonna have a very good strategic season. Something tells me deep down inside, these people came to play. They didn't come to be on TV. They didn't come to be famous. They came to play. And I hope I'm not wrong, but that's the gut instinct I got from this first episode is they're players. These guys are
asterisks, not Gabler. Everybody but
Gabler. There are people, but yeah, I think we said on the group chat at 8:03, Gabler's not the one. But I liked it. I thought it was a little slow. I thought it was a little, I'm not going to say boring, but it wasn't action packed. But I think it set the premise solid, strong season.
Yeah. I think no one really sticks out as someone who's gonna, who's not afraid, who is not afraid to like cut your head off, right? Everyone seems pretty chill. Like usually every premiere, we see that one rookie mistake of someone who says the wrong thing or goes off running for the idol. No one really made a major error in this episode. I don't know if that's just the fans getting smarter. I would assume it has to do with that, but there's nothing you could point to where it's like, oh, you're out.
Again, besides Gabler, but I don't even know what he was basically trying to break the rules of the game. Like Gabler was like, hey, Gabler, you're safe. And he was like, no. I'm gonna have a 1 in 6 chance that I'm going home, actually.
It seems like a very smart cast.
Yeah. I would say one move I didn't love was Dwight volunteering immediately to go to the island for the advantage. I think the other two tribes had more of a democratic, let's just pick someone at random. So I did not love that. And I also didn't love, although he did redeem himself, I didn't love Sammy wanting to do the sweat where he starts digging. I thought Owen was very smart there where he was like, look, I don't want it to be the two guys digging because that's when other bonds and alliances form early on, those four. But Sammy then did end up being pretty impressive throughout the rest of the episode. But yeah, I agree. No one stands out. Gabler does stand out as a real dummy, but other than that, everybody seems to have a pretty, at least basic understanding of the game.
Do you like that or not?
I don't know. I was really mad. Like I was just angrily tweeting at Gabler. I was like, this fucking loser, this fucking piece of shit. Like just more from a perspective of like so many people would kill to get on Survivor, myself included. And you get on and you're just going to play so stupidly. Like that doesn't even kind of make sense, but I don't know. I think a classic Survivor season, like a truly old school kind of classic Survivor season, you do need some of those just real dummies. You need just some real dummies to make the season more entertaining. But if you're looking for the super strategic cutthroat, like a Survivor Cambodia, the second chance of season, which is just so much strategy all the time, Winners at War, same thing. Then yeah, it's better to have all people who understand the game. I think it's probably good. I think having one or two dummies that you can laugh at, but overall, most people understanding are really, and not being too game-bottish, but at least knowing how the game's played is probably the ideal mix.
And again, it's one episode. We may still have that, but based off of this edit, we don't.
Well, I'll tell you, Gabler's a dummy. We don't need any more episodes to know.
But I'm talking about moves where you're like, oh, that's going to get you voted out.
Right.
Is just a dumb move for himself, but it's not going to put a target on his back.
Yeah, people will eventually make more moves throughout the season where it's like, uh-oh, you shouldn't have done that.
The losing tribe was like final six. They didn't want to make any moves.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy, I'm hoping Gabler sticks around for episodes and episodes to come because podcasts need a storyline as well. And we need Gabler to be a dummy for as long as possible so you have someone to scream at.
He could be our Roxroy.
Yo, keep Roxroy's good name out of your mouth. That man was a legend.
No, unfortunately, no Jonathan this season that we can just fawn over.
No, I saw some abs. I'm going to give it time.
Yeah, Sammy is a pretty jacked, pretty smart. Yeah. I don't know. There will never be a Jonathan, though, in our lives, though, for the foreseeable future, I would think. Yeah, I'd say overall, do you guys want to just let's maybe go through each tribe, each person, and just give sort of initial first impressions, first thoughts. Let's start with Baka, the yellow tribe. Gabler, we talked about already. Just a dummy, but we'll see how long he sticks around for. I will tell you this, and we could clip this. Gabler has a 0% chance to win this game. Gabler has a 0.0% chance to win this game. It took 40 minutes to realize that.
My favorite game we played last season when I almost, I believe, episode one, y'all gave Hoboken Mike a 0%.
No, I did not say zero.
I think he did. I
didn't love his chances.
And I said, I think he can win. And y'all said zero. So be careful where you toss your zero.
You also said Omar had a 0% chance to win. He was like the best player.
He was right, this guy.
I mean, Mike didn't win either.
Yeah, well, it's hard to say.
Yellow Tribe, I thought Ellie really stood out. She had the story about her sister. We joke about it. I mean, that was a legitimately very sad and emotional story. Everybody on this show just has something like that. I'm never gonna get on. I was raised in a middle class family. It's like I need to start fucking guys. I need to go homeless. I need to figure something out to make me, maybe I can stand out by being so non-standout. Like, my struggle is that I've never had a struggle.
Fair.
I like that you made Ellie's story all about you.
Yeah. But no, Ellie, I thought, showed a lot of promise. Like, she was straddling the fence well on both alliances. She understood the game. She was like, we need strength. We'll do our winner picks at the end of the episode, but she's up there for me as a potential winner.
Yeah. Yeah, I like her.
Janine, we didn't really see much out of. Owen was my preseason winner pick. We did our Survivor Fantasy draft. He was Jake's first overall pick. Would have been a tough look for us if he was the first person out.
Would have been funny. It's just not bad.
What?
Would have been funny.
I would have felt pretty dumb making him my preseason winner pick. But his pregame answers were really good. I if you go on, I don't know if they're on the CBS website yet, but it was like on Parade or something. His answer about why he thought he would win was just one of the most well-thought-out answers. And even today, like I said, with Sammy, when Sammy wanted to do the sweat instead of the savvy, I thought that he was pretty smart about not wanting to do that. So I like Owen's chances, and surviving the first day could, you know, maybe give him the momentum to go out there and make those social bonds, because it seems like he didn't talk to Sammy at all. You just can't do that. And Sammy, I thought, was proud. Sammy's like a golden boy. He figured out the stick challenge. He was making fire. I think this is a pretty strong overall tribe of characters.
What do you guys make of him lying and saying he's 22 instead of 19? Do you think it's that bad to say you're 19?
I do. I think it
very
helps.
Important. I think he should have said 26. Really? I think he was dumb.
Just
if
like
you're gonna lie, go
or
go
being
older.
A teenager or something.
Yeah, no, go even older. You have to make people think that you've lived, that you've gone through a stroke. Like, people don't trust or believe in 19-year-olds. I've also thought 22 was too young. I think you need to go above 25, and he could pass for 25.
You can get away with that?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I thought saying 19 was fine. I still thought that was too young. But I definitely, teenager has a bad stigma on Survivor. People don't trust teenagers. It just is what it is.
I agree. I think there's a reason nobody that young has ever walked. Basically, just don't stand out on Survivor. Yeah, do everything you can, especially early on. Don't stand out. If you're a 19-year-old, you're the only teenager. It's like, oh, this young kid. I just think it would have made him stand out, and it would have been a lot harder for him to connect to the older people on the tribe. Not that 22 is, it's obviously only a 3-year difference, but it feels like a lot bigger.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, vote in 3 elections. That's the age you need. He went for 2 elections. I don't think it's enough. 3 elections is where you want to be.
What did you guys think of, so after the initial reward challenge, the two losing tribes, Baka and Coco, had the opportunity to do stick or sweater savvy, a little bit of a twist on what we saw in 41 and 42, where there it was counting triangles. This was moving the sticks to make the highest number possible. I gotta be honest, fellas, I had no idea what that challenge was about. Like, moving the sticks, I was perplexed.
You still don't understand like what they were trying to do?
I now understand, but when they first explained it, when they were like, you can only move 2 sticks, I didn't understand what they were talking about. But I now understand, and Sammy was very smart.
Yeah. No, it was cool. And I think that, I mean, they obviously made different decisions, but I think staying with the team that early was the move.
Yeah, definitely. Like, again, don't stand out. I think you have 2 people sweating it out, especially if you're the 2 people and you don't, for some reason, get the
auto target.
If you waste 4 hours and you don't even get it, and all these other people have formed an alliance, it worked out for Gio and Ryan. I did think it was a little smart of Gio to volunteer for it, because he kind of sucked in the initial war challenge. So he was able to be, I'll step up and do this. But Gio and Ryan found it in a half hour, basically. Well, they had
Tommy, absolutely, I would say, that's a perfect Tommy challenge to be the guy who goes, yeah, that's it. Yes, yes. Like, yeah, yeah. That went without even knowing what's going on. That's a perfect stand back and root on and say, and good job, and hope that they get it right. But I'm kind of with you there. In the moment, I wasn't positive what they were supposed to do. But if I was on the island, I think that I could have been a great cheerleader and like been right there for the high five when we got it right.
Yeah. And it's like, you can't really get blamed. You never want to be early in the early on tribal challenges. Never. You never want to be the puzzle maker. You never want to be the one person, the shooter, basketball shooter. You never want to be the one person that can get blamed for losing the challenge.
I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I've been meaning to ask you about that. When they have the shooting challenge in the water, you got to get in the basket. You always want to be the rebounder, right?
Because
you can just blame the tide or like some guy boxing you out and elbowing the head. You never want to be the guy just missing the shots.
I agree.
Okay. I that's what I thought, unless you're just like a sharpshooter. But if you're not a sharpshooter, just be the rebound guy getting swept up in the tide.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll see that challenge at some point this season. That's just like
a great challenge. Love that challenge. Classic. Yeah.
But yeah, so Blue Tribe, Coco, we got Cassidy, Gio, James, Carla, Lindsay, Ryan. Initial thoughts. So Cassidy, I did not like in pre-game press. She was talking about how much she loves Mother Nature and all of its beings and spirits. I was like, all right, this girl's a hippie. But I thought she was smart. I thought the way she talked about the game, where it was like, you know, I want to lay low. I want to be sly. I want to be cunning. I don't want people to realize how much of a threat I am until it's too late. Which I do think is a very smart strategy in Modern Survivor, basically how Erica won in season 41. So she impressed me. Carla, I like. I liked her, some of her answers pregame. She seems to be straddling the fence here. So here we have an all-girls alliance that's seemingly formed between Cassidy, Carla, and the mom character, Lindsay. But Carla, then also her and Gio were bonding, and they brought in James. And it's basically Carla's aligned with everybody, which I think is actually a good spot to be in early on.
I don't know. I feel like the middle is risky because you're going to have to pick a side the first time you go to tribal. And right after, no matter what, you have a target on your back from those people who you screwed over. It's not like when you're in an individual immunity stage and there's six people left in the game and you're in the middle. Like this is, yeah, I don't think it's a good spot to be in right now.
But at least it theoretically should save you from not being the first one out of your
group. Yeah, but you're losing trust immediately.
Yeah, that is fair. Group. But I don't know how that tribe dynamics will shake out. I like James. I think James has a pretty good vibe to him. Very funny, I thought, when his pants fell down during the immunity challenge. I just really laughed. I don't know why that got to me, but his pants just falling down and seeing his ass on his boxers just really made me chuckle. And then Ryan, don't really have too much of a read on Ryan, Gio, or Lindsay yet. Do you guys have anyone that sticks out from that tribe? And we probably saw the least of them of any tribe.
Carla, I don't know. Does you see castaways like Carla a lot? I don't see her as a winner. But I can see her.
Oh, I could see her being a winner.
No. Oh, Tommy.
Yep.
Do you want me to put a 0% on it? I'll do it.
You could. I could
see Tommy. I'll do it. I'll do it right now. I'll put a 0% on Carla. 0% on Carla. Slap it on there. You Carla will get two in the mix. What's the word? I don't want to angry. Like just too emotional for the game. Won't be able to.
What makes you? I haven't gotten anything of that vibe from her.
The edit. I don't feel the Carla edit working out favorably. Mark it down. Put a pin on it. Carla will not win this game, 100%.
All right. I don't agree with that.
I think the island thing played out perfectly for her. She got no blood on her hands and had nothing to worry about when going back to camp.
Yeah, I thought she played that well. She chose no risk. The other two chose risk. She's able to go back and just be honest about it, basically. I don't know. I will say, so for that, I thought that it was having an immunity idol for your first two tribal councils is a pretty huge advantage. Like to not go home your first two tribal councils, as Gabler has, unless he's just incredibly stupid again and tries to get rid of it, is a huge, huge advantage. Like you could argue I don't know if you can argue it's more powerful than a hidden immunity idol, because a hidden immunity idol you obviously can use anytime you want it, but it only gets you safety at one tribal council. This is getting him safety at two tribal councils. I think it's way more powerful than an extra vote or a steal a vote, whatever we've seen them offer up on that island before. And I wonder if part of the reason is, you know, since Jeff is so obsessed with this risk reward gameplay, you need the incentives to take the risks. Like, they want people to take the risks. If they saw 41 and 42 and it's like, oh, I might get an extra vote, I might get a steal a vote, yeah, it can help, but it's not worth risking my vote over. That is something, and I think I would play the game relatively conservatively that early, and I'd probably just not risk. If I knew an idol that could save me at two tribal councils up for grabs, yeah, I would risk.
Also, they lost. Imagine if, like, sometimes we see tribes not go to tribal until five or six episodes in. That could have gave him a cakewalk to the merge.
He theoretically could have used it at the merge. Like, he could have used it if his tribe wins out, he could be safe until, like, final 10 or something.
Crazy.
Yeah, so that is huge. Again, if we're understanding the way this advantage works, which I think we are. I think Gabler maybe doesn't understand.
you hate him.
I do. I it's fun to hate someone. He gave me like Rupert vibes. Even when
we hated Marianne.
What? First,
we hated Marianne at the beginning and she ended up winning.
Yeah, it was different though. Like, Marianne was just like kind of annoying at the
beginning. She was so annoying. Like, the most annoying cast. I think we might have said the most annoying castaway we've ever seen on the show. There's a good
chance we said that. But she was never dumb. Like, there was never, I think it was like Marianne stupid. Like, this was like Gabler stupid.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And then the other tribe, VC, Red Tribe. I do not like Cody. Cody is fucking annoying.
He had a bad edit.
Too high energy.
I'll smack
this on it too. 0% chance for Cody to win.
Oof, I have him on my team.
0% chance.
I think it was smart when he was trying to throw all the targets on
Justine
for saying, can't trust her, she's a salesman, when he's really a salesman.
But that just almost seemed like the one who smelt it dealt it. Like, I don't know, like, is it really that big of a thing that we have to get out the salesperson and Survivor? I feel like you hear that more.
Yeah, it's about lawyers. Cops.
Yeah, like lawyers. It's always the lawyer. I don't know. I feel like profession doesn't actually end up mattering that much in the game.
I think it does for cops.
Like, yeah, Tony. For cops. But sometimes that's more just like they stick together. They're afraid they're going to be able to suss out liars. I thought that was Cody. He was just too high energy. I mean, I will say really smart, very smart in the opening reward challenge where he suggested to, who did he suggest it to? Justine or Jesse, whoever it was. I think it was Jesse. He suggested that he hook the piece of bamboo so that it's able to get the flint, sort of outsmarted the producers a little bit there. So that was smart, but you could even tell the scenes for next week. People are already saying that we got to target Cody. Cody, 0% chance to win the game.
I'm worried Cody wants to be a reality show star.
Yes. He looks like he should be on Real World or something.
Yeah, yeah. I get that vibrant, like, smiling at the camera. Just, Cody, play Survivor. Stop trying to get clout. But
it was Dwight, not Jesse, by the way. That was
up there. I'm not willing to write him off just yet. Because I could see people flocking to him in kind of just like a buddy-buddy way. I don't think he's like overly obnoxious, but I'm not going to give him a zero quite yet, but I could see myself giving him a zero soon. I'd like to see how he evolves in the next few episodes, but he's not looking great, Tommy. He's not looking great.
He might last till the merge. Hell, he might come in fourth. He's not winning. Cody is.
I hope he has a very funny exit where he's just so amazed that they would ever vote him. Like, me, like, who that was, kind of exit.
Who was in season 41? He was the young black guy who was like, his one story was that he was like bullied for being fat, like, but he was like the prom king also. JD was that his name? Like, then he ended up having a. I could see Cody like being the JD of this season. We're just a little bit too high energy and has a very like kind of clumsy exit.
I was saying this to Tom in the office today. It's crazy how quickly these people evaporate from our brains after the show ends. Like I couldn't name more than two or three people from last season.
Dude, when I was saying that I have a bad memory when people were like, oh yeah, that's like a season 35 winner. I'm like, I need a second here. People evaporate out of if you're not Rupert, I forget you. Like I'm very quick to forget people.
I usually am better at that. But I agree. Like 40, I was actually trying to think of myself the other day. I was like, who was on season 42? Like right off the bat, I couldn't. Then I remembered you had Marianne, Mike.
Marianne and Jonathan.
Right. Roxroy, Omar and High.
Yeah.
It's honestly an interesting thought experiment where it's like, who are the people that define that season? 41, I think of Erica. I think of Heather. Of course, I think of Heather.
Yes.
I think of Shan. I think of Ricard.
Oh, Ricard? We said we want to see Ricard play again.
I'd love to see him play again. I'm sure he will. Who else? Honestly, who did Erica even beat in the finale of season 41? Xander. Xander.
Oh yeah, Xander. We all thought Xander was gonna sweep, and he didn't get one vote, right?
But Tommy, you're pretty sharp at that stuff. Like you have a pretty good brain for like who finished fifth in season 35. Like you can walk it back pretty good.
I can usually, but I think honestly that speaks to more how much of kind of a dud 41 is. Laurel, was she on?
No, she was with the two guys. She was the first ever tie-breaking vote.
Oh, no. Who was the girl that hated Xander? Remember?
Oh.
I wish I could tell you guys what's going on outside of my apartment.
It was like
fucking lunacy. I might get shot.
I can picture her. I forget her name.
Is it the method?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You just live next to a meth head?
Yeah, it's insane.
What does she like bother you?
I don't have to. I don't have to interrupt the episode, but it's. I might die in the middle of this episode.
I'm not kidding. I really hope that happens for ratings purposes.
I do too. Like publish it as is. Like seriously, like this is my dying wish. But it's crazy what's going on outside, like 10 feet away from me.
It was Liana.
Liana. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And then also on that tribe, Jesse, again, another person where it's like, this is why I'll never get on Survivor. He is a former gang member turned PhD student at Duke.
That's a crazy story.
Crazy story. I liked what I saw from him.
Yeah.
I did think he was like, yeah, I had 3-dot tattoo on my face. I was like, does he have teardrop? Like, is he a murderer? Is Jesse a murderer? Is he just revealing that he
That's what they were implying. Is he got them removed, but having 3 dots on your face, you get a teardrop under your eye for each person you've killed. So he was implying he got them removed.
I have to hope that it was another type of dot. I don't know.
I would guess he had teardrop tattoos removed.
So that I got to kill 3 people to fucking get on Survivor?
Well, you can go over to Nate's apartment and just finish the job.
Yeah.
There's one.
Well, I will say this, Jake Marsh. I was out with Tommy after work on Friday. He's taken up a bad habit of dipping. So maybe he can be an addict. That's not true.
Me and Nick are trying to get addicted to dipping just to prove that we can beat it.
Oh, my God.
So that's a story. Tommy's an addict.
I did it once at the basketball game. Never again.
I dipped in college here and there. It's fine. I don't mind it, but yeah, I'm looking for some adversity. So dipping, I think, is the way to go.
Yeah.
Also on that tribe, Noelle, she's the, is amputee like politically correct to say? She's the prosthetic leg. She was
amputee.
Paralympian.
Amputee.
She, if we're being frank here, just no chance to win because nobody's ever going to want to sit next to her at the end. You just, if you're at like final 5 and you're sitting around the campfire and you're thinking, which of these people can I beat in the end? It's not the girl with one leg. I'll tell you that much. You do not let her get to the end with that inspiring of a story. Like that's game over. That's $1 million in her pocket. So she seems smart. She seems like she'll be good in challenges. I could see her lasting a while, but I just don't know who would want to sit next to her in the end.
Yeah.
It was kind of impressive how she approaches that adversity in that situation.
She's incredible. She's one of the most impressive human beings I've ever seen.
That was crazy. She's like, it's just a leg. I have my life. I'm like,
yeah, she was like really athletic growing up, lost her leg in an accident, and then like became a Paralympian. Like that's if I ever lost a leg, it'd be curtains. I would never try to do anything ever again.
Yeah.
That was a really impressive mindset.
I would never try to recover. She's one of the most she's honestly one of the most impressive humans on the show, which is exactly why I'm not saying this in a way against her. She's so good. It's why she can't win, is that people just won't let her get to the end. That's just how it rolls. I won't go 0% chance on her. I'm only handing out my 0% chances to Cody and to Gabler. Those two have absolutely no chance to win. Justine on that tribe, I'd like to marry her. I'd like to marry Justine if she would be so inclined to take me. And so I wrote in my cast preview blog or cast preview video, NNEKA, her name is Neka. It's a little bit of a scary name to say. When you read it out, it sounds a little bit scary. I was like, wouldn't mind her going home early because I don't have to be saying that name every week, get myself canceled by accident. But she's the oldest woman on the season. I thought she seemed pretty smart. I think she only had one confessional, but I kind of liked what I saw from her. You guys, any takes on that tribe?
You just gave out two very concerning takes that I have no.
No, I didn't. The two non-concerning.
No, one's hot and one's old. I'm with you.
So I'm looking. Sorry, I'm kind of sidetracked here, but
because she's so Angeles hot, Sparks, yeah, with you, Jake.
Neka Ogwumike is like a very good WNBA player, and it's Neka,
yeah,
yeah. So just to clear that
up. I'll be honest, it doesn't feel right saying. Doesn't feel right.
Justine Brennan, cybersecurity.
Yeah, she sells whatever. Her and Cody are going to go at each other's throats. This tribe is Dwight, I think, is I could see Dwight coming off as the overeager super fan. Where he already was too eager, where he wanted to go on the boat and, you know, go get the advantage. I think that sometimes it could work. If he could last through pre-merge, he has a real shot. Because I feel like that nerdy super fan type, we've seen him win. Adam, won the whole show. But also there's Jacob from Ghost Island. Sometimes they're just too overeager, too hard to play. It's hard to tell.
Jesse Lowe last season.
Daniel.
No vote to start is tough, but I like how he was up front with them.
Yeah, I think he played it as well as he could have. Cody didn't believe him, but
right. Yeah.
Never out yourself as a super fan to the tribe, ever. Act like you know Survivor, but you're not obsessed with it.
I do think at this point, though, they cast so many super fans that it almost doesn't.
But there's no reason to matter. Let people know. But there's you never have a reason to tell people. I know every in and out of.
You definitely don't want to go that far.
People get excited and overshare. There's no reason to overshare.
I love how in the opening scene every season, Jeff plays dumb. He's like, guy in the back, what's your name?
Always love that. Yeah. I think if I ever get on,
people forever.
I'm literally like, Jeff, we've met before. Jeff, we went through the whole
guy in the khakis.
Yeah, like, Jeff, we went through the whole casting
over there.
But I get it. It's probably for the other people to just get to know each other.
It's always funny though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does always make me laugh. So we had we talked about the opening challenge, your standard, do all this stuff. It got minimal supplies. The mud challenge for immunity. You could either go with the more of a maze type thing to get the ball in, or the straight line. Once they figured out the straight line, that seemed very easy. You just put it down there and it just rolled in. That's interesting. That you usually only see just one board for everyone. So a little bit, I wonder if we'll see more of that this season where with a puzzle or something in a challenge, you have a choice.
Yeah.
Little added layer of strategy. And then, for the vote, it was the yellow tribe that lost. Originally seemed like Owen could be on the chopping block. And it shows you how truly random Survivor is, because Owen basically got on the chopping block because Sammy was just like, oh, I haven't really talked to Owen that much. And that was enough for the, at the time, All Girls Alliance to say, uh-oh, maybe we can't trust, like, getting voted off first, and maybe I'm just hedging my bets here in case I ever get on, but getting voted off first on Survivor does seem like there is an element of randomness to it. Not all the time. Sometimes you have an idiot who fucking just becomes the leader and bosses everyone around, who does just horrible on a challenge. But Mariah tonight, I mean, she wasn't like an absolute albatross in the challenge. She didn't like cost her team too bad. It just, I think they just looked and were like, you probably would be the worst at challenges.
I can't remember what made me text Mariah looks like she's done, but they did flash to her for something. And I wish I wrote down what made me think that. And then she was voted off. Do y'all recall what it was?
This was before Tribal?
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure.
It had to be a confessional or something. Just one of those edits where I was like, oh, they don't like her. But I can't remember the second what it was. But yeah, she probably, if she was, yeah, I agree with you, Tommy. Like, first vote mostly means nothing. I do think you have to just be a bad strategic player to be voted off first. You should be able to save yourself.
But I don't think Mariah did anything.
Sometimes four people just end up talking and they're just like, what about her? Yeah, I don't know her. I don't know her. I don't know her.
Exactly.
So her. But if it's not if you're targeted first vote, you're usually not making it to the end anyway.
But I don't think Mariah played badly at all. I think Mariah,
remember what it was,
she just got voted out because they thought she was more of a liability in challenges than Owens. But she did a pretty good job with her. They made that All Girls Alliance early on. Her, Ellie, who's the other girl? Her, Ellie, and Janine, like, they made an All Girls Alliance. She seemingly was in with Sammy and Gabler to a degree. Like, I don't think she wasn't obnoxious at all, Mariah. She didn't do anything to put herself clearly on the chopping block other than just being the least athletic member on our tribe.
Crazy hair.
Maybe that may be, but I can't look at, you know, her hair all season. I don't know that, but like, it might have been I doubt that was it. I think she honestly just kind of a shit draw. And that's really,
yeah, I think surviving the first vote is like one of the harder to survive. Because then you get to play the game, you know? The first one's a lot of luck, I feel like, unless you do something stupid.
After that, you could, you know, build some momentum. It buys you an extra 2 or 3 days to...
At least, yeah.
Yeah, to... that's if you're losing the next challenge. Otherwise, you could have five, six days to build more alliances, relationships, form those bonds. When it's 2 days in, 3 days in, you hit the beach, everybody's going full speed. It's hard. So, you know, it sucks. But I'm glad it was her instead of Owen because he was my winner pick.
You know, we might have missed out on a great character, though. 28, young, performance artist, crazy hair.
She said in one of her bios, she said she opened up a selfie museum. I wanted to hear a lot more about that.
I hope we didn't miss out on a good character. She seems like she had something more to give. So a little sad to see her go.
All right. Anything else just on the episode recap before? So we'll head into our fantasy. So we do fantasy. We do Survivor pick, which is basically, or we'll go one by one. Let's start with, but any other final thoughts just on the episode?
No, optimistic about the season.
All right. So we did our fantasy draft today. The teams are as follows. So it's the main five of us on the podcast. I'll have a team. I have James, who I feel pretty good about. Gio, too early to tell. And Carla, despite Nate's proclamation, I do think has a chance to win. Jake, you have Owen, Dwight, and Mariah.
Yeah, I was screwed. So when we were doing the draft today, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take one person from each tribe. And then after the draft, I'm like, oh, I took two members of the yellow tribe. So whoops. And right when they lost, those are the two names that were being blurted out. So I knew I was screwed, but it would have been a funny story if I took the first overall pick and knew they got voted out first. That would have been all time jinx.
And I mean, I like your Owen pick. He was first overall, and who's your other person? Dwight. I think, like I said, if Dwight makes the merge, he could make a run. Nate, you have Justine, Bonk, Cody, and Lindsay, who showed some promise. I think, you know, it's easy to with the mom archetype, you know, the older lady, a lot of times it's you're either there in early out or you get to the end and you're kind of a goat. She had some fire. She had some spunk. She had some spark, I thought.
Do not you bonk me. I do not pick my players based on bonk ability. This is a survivor fantasy team. It has nothing to do with anything besides gameplay.
Okay. And who are your other two? Lindsay and Cody. So yeah,
you
Cody
bonked me for Justine. I didn't even see a picture. I didn't even know.
And then Jeff has Jesse. He has Ryan and he has Gabler. I think he took Gabler just to have him as a joke. And Glennie has another stable of queens. So you remember last season, So I won the season 41 fantasy league. Glennie won the season 42 fantasy league. He had a stable of queens. I know he had Drea. I forget who else he had. But this year he has Cassidy, Janine, and Naka. So we'll see. The three undrafted people are Ellie, which sucks because I think she could fucking win the whole thing. And last year, Marianne went undrafted. So that ended up not being a great look for us. So it's the five us and the undrafted.
Wait, sorry to interrupt. I stand by us not drafting her. We did a good job not drafting her. Even though Ellie, she won.
Oh, Sammy could be good too. And Noelle. I bet the undrafted team could win this again.
No. Us not drafting Marianne, I'm proud of us. I feel good about it. That is a bad winner. And I feel fine. None of us had to root for her. She was not rootable.
Fair. She had her moments at the end, but she was not for the first half of the season. Then we'll do winner. You know what? Here, let's put chopping block on the chopping block. We don't need to do that anymore. That's kind of, we kind of talk about that. We usually are like who we think could go out next. I mean, we could keep it.
I think we should keep it post-merge.
Post-merge, yeah. It's just too hard to predict like what tribe's going to lose.
Yeah, yeah. It's just post-merge. It's great, though.
But let's do, before we get to our official winner pick, let's do so our Survivor pool. How that works is every week, starting after week one, you pick one person who cannot go home the following episode, whether it's voted out, whether it's medevac, whatever it is, they cannot go home. If they're eliminated, you're eliminated. You can only use each player once. So their strategy, similar to an NFL survivor pool that goes into it, of if there's a person that you think is going to be around for a while, do you want to save them? Because eventually you could run out of players. We've had that happen before where technically you never pick a person wrong, but you run out of players and then that eliminates you as well. So you need to be able to pick someone that can survive the following week. We'll get Glennie and Jeff's picks. I got to look through. I got to think about this a little bit. But Nate or Jake, do you guys have someone off the bat that you want?
I'll go. I'm going to pick my fantasy player, Cody.
That's so stupid. The whole
You're stupid.
The whole preview is about how he's in trouble next week.
Welcome. One, I don't watch previews. You know that.
Two, could be misdirection.
No, I really, that honest to God, I don't watch coming up on next week on Survivor. I don't watch them, but I know that you guys don't like him, but that makes me want to pick him early that he's going to be alive for another week.
Okay. Jake?
Michael? I'm going to do something that could be viewed as very stupid or very smart. But I'm going to get an auto buy and take Gabler because it'll save me for the first round. But if they lose next week, when else would you use them?
Okay.
You know what?
You're taking the odds. You're taking the odds. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have to do the same. That's really smart.
Right?
It's really smart. Unless he somehow literally votes, does everything in his power to vote himself out next week. I got to go. He literally can't go home next week.
He can't go home, and then you're never going to take him moving forward, right?
Yeah. No, that's smart. That's smart. I hate to just...
It's early.
For people
who aren't picking up, he has immunity for next week.
Right. He has for his next tribal council. Yeah, so he's either not at tribal council next week, or theoretically he's safe even if he is there. Unless, again, for some reason he decides to... So just for people... At home.
For Eric Nathan, I want to kind of like ban that pick because I forgot about that, but I'm not going to walk.
So for the people at home, me and Jake have a person who can't be voted out next week, and Nate has the person who the whole preview is about might be going home. So we'll see. We'll see what Glennie and Jeff have. All right, now let's get into... So my preseason winner pick was Owen. Let's see who... I think I have my choice, but I will go to you guys first, and mine's not changing. Or I could go first if you'd like.
You're still at Owen?
What?
You're still at Owen?
No, I'm not going Owen. I'm going Ellie. She was undrafted. I couldn't get too much of a read on her in my preseason blog because her video wasn't released yet. She was like one of the last videos released. But I thought she seemed very smart today. I think she had a good social game, a good strategic game. She got a good amount of camera time. She has the story with her sister. She has the, like, you know, that emotional angle that she can play. She doesn't seem to be in any immediate danger when the merge comes. She's not going to be targeted for being some huge physical challenge threat. I just got major winner vibes from Ellie.
Okay. Nate, would you like to go?
Yeah. Get out your hammer, boys. My winner pick is Justine.
All right. Not bad. Not a bad pick.
I have no reason to believe Justine can't win. And she's on my fantasy team. And I like the cut of her jib. Seems likable. And let's see how the season goes. But I have no reason to pick against Justine right now.
And Jake?
Okay. I'm going to go with someone whose story was spotlighted pretty well as well. We talked about it earlier. Jesse. Jesse has a good story. He's very smart, obviously, with the PhD at Duke. I think it would be a...
Too much.
You think people... Wait, but didn't he say that in confessional? Who knows what he told them?
Sure. But I feel like when they spotlight it too early, like they have to get it out of the way.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's actually a good point. That gives me a little concern about Ellie too. Because that winner arc comes a little later in the season where it's like, but I don't know, that's old school Survivor. Now, like, you get everybody's story pretty much the first one or two.
What'd you know about Erica in 41?
Nothing. Nothing the whole season though. Marianne, I'm trying to I can't remember.
She was just a sobby whiner for the whole season.
I mean, Marianne was the greatest misdirect winner of all time.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's one episode in. I'm not ruling anybody out. But what if I slapped a 0% on Jake's pick right now? That'd be fire. I'm not going
really?
To.
I feel like that'd be ballsy.
Yeah.
What reason do you have to say that?
Because you don't want to peak too early in the edit game.
But I don't think, I don't know. I feel like they're also the other side to that argument to the edit is you want to be introduced to the
winner. You want to be relevant in episode one. I feel like we can go back. Don't you look at like the confessional count, one of you, and I bet you Marianne, all the winners had to have at least one or two confessionals in the opening episode, right?
Yeah, let's look back.
Maybe. I don't know.
Marianne had 6 confessionals episode one last year, and that was tied for the most.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
I feel like if you didn't have a confessional tonight, you're toast. Is that
you
fair?
Do you want a side
bet? Did anyone not have one?
Jake, do you want a side bet between my Justine and your Jesse?
Between what? Who goes farther?
Yeah. $1.
Just okay. Handshake.
Shake.
And let's there see. Season 41.
Yeah, how many did Erica have?
Erica only had two.
Okay. What? Did everyone have at least one?
No, yeah, everyone had one in season 41.
Okay, maybe it's not. It sounded like a good theory, but I guess.
We'll see. I mean, as we said, to bring it full circle, this was and a well-balanced, edited episode. It was nobody besides G-Man. I guess we're not going to call him that. But, you know, it was besides Gabler, like everybody was pretty well-balanced, pretty thought out, like nobody you hated, nobody overly loved. It was a solid opening episode.
Agreed. So thanks for listening, everyone. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. If you're a new listener, hope you stick with us. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on YouTube.
Yes. Jake, can you give a 0% for us to somebody?
Who are your guys' 0% again?
Gabler and Cody.
I'll go, I think he's on my fantasy team, but I think Dwight, I think the super fan aspect, and like you mentioned, Tommy, the volunteer to go to the island.
He's 21. Over-eager.
Yeah, so I'll go with him, even though I want him to win because he's on my team.
I feel like everybody needs a 0% week one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel great about him. Like there is no chance Gabler Cody. Like I that's like a life. That's like I'd bet anything on that.
I mean, Gabler's the unanimous 0%.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, what do you think there's a better chance of? You getting on the show or him winning?
Me getting on the show. Legitimately. Because like there's truly a 0% chance Gabler wins. Like I'm not saying there's a high chance I get on, but like it at least that possibility is still open. Like, there's a better chance I win the show one day than Gabler does. Like, Gabler is not one. Like, that's just not even. It's not even the realm of possibility.
Yeah, you hate. Right.
But yeah, that's it. We'll trash Gabler more next week. Glenn.
Now we need him to stick around.
We do. He'd be a great running storyline.
I mean, Rockroy stole our hearts last season.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable. He just wanted to build a shelter 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it became like the best recurring storyline.
So Rockroy was more lovable though. Gabler, like, I hate.
But you could see him just being like a goofball. Like just like,
yeah.
I'm not out on him.
I'm not out on him as a character. I'm out on his chances of winning. That's for sure. All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Shoot us a 5-star review. Leave something. If you're watching on YouTube, leave your winner in the comments and leave your 0% in the comments. Winner and 0% chance. If you leave a review, 5 stars, put that in there too. We'll see you back next week. Maybe we'll do a YouTube live next week. Next week, by the way, is an hour and a half episode.
Really?
Which is bizarre.
It's got to be new.
I believe the first time Survivor's ever opened.
You know what? It might be because of the Big Brother finale. It's usually an hour and a half. I could be wrong. I haven't watched the season, but.
Okay.
Why would that affect Survivor, though?
If they put Big Brother an hour and a half. Just to, like, make it round.
8 to 9:30, 9:30 to 11.
Yeah, something like that.
Interesting.
Maybe. I could be wrong. I have to look.
We'll see. All right. That's it. See you guys next week.